This is the Sue Freeze Show, talking about life, relationships, and achieving. Unashamed and unafraid, 'cause I believe you mean it when you say, I am strong, beautiful, I am good enough. I belong after all, 'cause of what you've done. This is real, what I feel, no one made it up. I am loved. Here's your host, Sue Freeze.
I am so happy to be with you today. It's very exciting. Why is it exciting, Sue? Well, it's exciting because I just spent 10 just incredible days in Israel, and I'm not really going to go into that. I know I'm teasing you a little bit, but I'm not going to go really into that right now because I have a special guest with me today, and I really want to spend as much time as I can with my guest. Our special guest today is Steve Verray. And I'm going to give you a little background on him so you kind of know what you're getting into here by listening. And here's what I'm going to say to you, that anything in life, there is a golden nugget. You have to listen and take what you want, leave the rest. But there's always something available, and God's trying to give you a message, trying to tell you something. There's a life lesson. It's just whether we're going to listen and pay attention to those things as they come up. And if we don't listen and if we don't get the message, guess what? That lesson will come back round and around and around until we get it, if God really wants us to get it. And you know what I'm talking about right now, I'm sure. But Israel was amazing. Those that have been, you understand and you can relate. And those that have not, put it on your bucket list. You must go. Why? I will tell you that I was at the tomb, and the same day that I was at the tomb, there was a killing, a stabbing of a student, I think Utah or somewhere in the United States. And that's very sad. But other than that, I would tell you that I just felt very safe. I felt very safe, and I know that that sounds kind of strange. But, you know, we have stabbings everywhere in the world, and all I can say is that, you know, you just don't travel alone, you're with a group, and it's great to go over with a tour guide so that they can give you all that insight of where you are and walking where Jesus walked and seeing the Sea of Galilee and just all the things. I even got baptized over there. It was amazing. It truly was amazing, and my life will be changed forever. All the stories you read in the Bible, it's like then you're there and you can breathe the air and you can sense everything that's going on, like the here and now, but what it was like back then. And seeing the ruins and seeing just, amazing. Anyway, I just wanted to give you a little tease because in the future, in another show, I'm going to spend the entire time talking about what I saw, what I learned, what the Lord revealed to me, the Holy Spirit, just feeling His presence with me as I prayed, as I cried. Amazing. It's just amazing. So put it on your bucket list, would you? And I mean, I didn't know I was going 2 weeks before I got on that plane, and it just happened, and it was totally a God thing and amazing. So our special guest today is Steve Verray. Am I saying that right, Steve?
Correct.
Oh, good. And a little background, 10 years ago, Steve began teaching a wildly popular class in the San Diego area called the Bible Class for Dummies. That's pretty funny. First for his local church, and then was invited to teach the course to several other churches and then to the general public. Over the 10 years, the course has introduced many hundreds of people to the Word of God. 3 years ago, Steve was encouraged by his students to start his own church, and that he did. Our church, with the H, like the number, the hour in time, is the church he pastors in Carlsbad, California, right here in California. Recently, Steve released a book based on one of the most frequently asked questions he receives. Fellow Christians, how do I pray, or how do I pray effectively? So I'm going to open that up with, how did you begin to teach a course on the Bible, Steve?
Well, about 15 years ago, I was on staff at a church and volunteering, doing different things. And I approached my pastor and I said, you know, I believe that there are a lot of people that don't understand the Bible fully, but love going to church. And then We started a small group, and we were studying the 40 Days of Purpose, Rick Warren's study. And when we finished the 40 Days of Purpose in our small group, we had about 25 people in the group. I said, hey, you know what? I've been thinking about doing a course on the Bible that is from scratch. So I said, if you had a really dumb question that you thought was really dumb that you've always wanted to ask, what would you ask? And all 25 people in that group raised their hand. And I said, maybe you didn't understand the question. I said, if you had a really stupid question, what would you ask? And they all had a question. And they said, you know, I always wanted to know why we're not married, and where is the Jordan River, and do you have to be baptized to go to heaven? Really, really great questions that they were afraid to ask. So that sort of lit a fire under me. I've always been a teacher. I love teaching. It's my gift that God gave me. So I sat down with my pastor. I said, listen, where can I go to get a very simple book that I can teach people? And he said, well, you have to go to seminary or Bible college. That's the only place. And I said, you know what? I'm going to do it. And I laid out four or five books on the Bible, like the Bible for Dummies, the Complete Idiot's Guide to the Bible, the Backstage Book to the Bible, and of course, four different versions of the study Bibles that we have. And I laid out a curriculum, and I said, I'm going to begin from Genesis, and I'm just going to go through. So we knocked it down into about an eight-week course. It's 2 hours every, let's say, Wednesday night for 8 weeks. And we cram as much information as we can. We make it as fun as possible. We have trivia questions. We have quizzes at the end of each section. And it's just a fun, fun class where people get to ask really dumb questions, and we get them answered, and we go from Genesis to Revelation really fast. And when we're done, they know the Bible. They have a good groundwork to be able to go to church or listen to Bible study or listen to programs on the radio station and understand what the Jordan River is and who this guy Paul is and who the disciples were, because we just go over everything and make it very, very simple.
That is so fantastic. And, you know, we are all afraid. And I always tell my employees even, you know, there is no stupid question except for the one you don't ask.
Right.
Right? Because we're always wondering, but we just, I don't know. I don't want to feel stupid. So therefore, I'm not going to ask the question. But then we ask the question, and there's probably five people in the room that also were wondering the same thing.
Right. And, you know, so we've fallen off so far in America as far as biblical knowledge. We just have. I read a survey the other day from the Barna Institute, which says there are a net of about 3,000 churches closing every year in the United States. 7,000 churches close their doors for the last time, and 4,000 new churches start up. Most of those are home churches now. And we have 1,500 pastors that leave the ministry every month. And we're not allowed to teach it in school anymore. We're not, you know, in the early 1900s, we used to use scripture in schoolwork, where a child in the first or second grade would read scripture to learn how to read. Mm-hmm. Now, very unacceptable to do that in America. Mm-hmm. We have a whole generation now that's not raised biblically. So when a person first accepts Jesus Christ and they first attend church, they may love the church, they love the pastor, they love the worship team, but there's a big hole inside where they say, I kind of would like to know the basics of what I'm hearing about from this pastor. And that's why we decided to start teaching this course, the Bible Class for Dummies.
So how did the Bible for Dummies class influence you as a person?
Well, I'm like you. I like to help other people. I think when God put us on this earth to help each other, mm-hmm. and with a great commission, we're supposed to tell people about Jesus Christ. So I love to have a room full of, let's say, 30 to 50 adults who are in there, and you have to be almost, you have to put aside your pride for a while to come to the class, because by just attending the Bible for Dummies class, you're saying, I don't know everything I need to know about the Bible. You know, I had a lady one day who walked up to me on the first day, and she said, I'll never forget that, she said, is the word Genesis somewhere in the Bible? Is that like a biblical word? And I said, you know, ma'am, that is the very first book of the Bible. It means the beginning, and you're going to learn all about that in this class. I ran into her a couple of years later, and she's a ministry leader now at two different churches.
Isn't that amazing?
Because she got her groundwork done in my little class, and that is just the greatest feeling in the world. That's why I've never charged any money for my class, because that's better than gold, is to have somebody leave the class and go out and go on to ministry and tell other people what they know.
It sounds like the questions that would be asked here or what you would be teaching would be for any age.
Oh, for any age. And yeah. Kids love the program as well.
Right.
And, you know, honestly, my best student ever was my daughter, Savannah, who started coming to the class when she was about 5 years old. And she would ask the very best questions. Her first question, I'll never forget, was, when you get to heaven and you want an ice cream, will God just poof you one? That's how young she was. I always knew that when we were in the car on the way home, if she had a question, it's probably a question that the adults really needed to learn about.
Right.
And so we would come back the following week and say, you know, Savannah asked this question on the way home, and it's this answer, and everybody would learn that way.
That's really beautiful. Yeah. My sister's daughter, one and only daughter, is named Savannah, and she listens to my show quite frequently, so she's going to love that your daughter's name is Savannah.
Yeah.
So that's really cute. What are some of the barriers most people have to prayer? Now, prayer is such a big deal, and I've learned quite a few things about prayer, about, you know, giving thanks first. I was taught that mm-hmm. you give thanks first, because in all things, give thanks, he says, right?
Right. Yes. Philippians 4:6 is our main verse. It's don't worry about anything, pray about everything, tell God your needs, and don't forget to thank him for his answers. That's what
right,
it says.
Right.
We always kind of bypass the, you know, there's a story about the guy who's looking for a parking lot space. He's got a job interview and he's late and he's driving around the block five times. Mm-hmm. And he says, God, please, I need a parking space. And right when he says that, a parking space opens up mm-hmm. and he goes, God, never mind, I found one. You know, it's like,
instead of thank you, God.
Yeah. Instead of saying, hey, thank you, God, for hearing my prayer.
Providing.
So
yeah.
You're right about that. You know, in prayer, we always tell people to acknowledge God first, mm-hmm. then, you know, given your petition, you know, tell him what's going on in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And always remember to say thank you. And in fact, I like to teach people to say thank you in advance mm-hmm. because God's listening.
Well, we have to believe. And that's
you have
part
to
of
believe.
Believing.
That's part of faith.
That's faith.
And say,
that's
thank,
right.
Thank you in advance.
Yes.
And the biggest obstacle, to answer your question, honestly, I'm going to be kind of blunt here.
That's okay. Go for it.
The biggest obstacle we have in prayer is the same obstacle we have with church, the reason so many people are leaving church. Because over the years, especially in America, we have made so many rules about everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like when, you know, many denominational churches, for instance, say you have to do this at a certain time, you have to do this, you have to.
Right.
It's almost like you have to earn your way to belong to our membership of church. And that's not what Christianity is all about,
right.
as you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the prayer is the same way.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many people who say to themselves, I am not qualified to pray because I'm not a priest, I'm not a rabbi,
right.
I'm not a pastor,
right.
so I'm going to let that guy pray for me.
Yeah.
Where it, and that's the starting point for learning about proper prayer, is to remember that you are God's child,
yes.
he loves you,
yes.
and he's waiting to hear from you all the time. If God has a refrigerator, you're on the front of his refrigerator.
Right.
Your picture's right there. He looks at you every day and says, I want to hear from Sue or from John or from Bill. I want to hear from that person right
mm-hmm.
now. So don't delay. Just say,
right.
hey, God, I know I'm your child. I thank you. And just talk to him like he's your best friend, which he is, mm-hmm. of course.
He is.
Yeah.
Yes, he's our Heavenly Father. And he's more of a father than maybe some of us realize as far as our earthly father. We kind of relate to the Heavenly Father like our earthly father, and it's not always the same. And in the Bible, it says pray without ceasing.
Yes.
Which means all the time. You don't have to be in a special place. If you're driving, you don't have to close your eyes to pray. I always tell people, you know, we're going to pray right now. Don't close your eyes if you're driving.
Right.
But, you know, we can pray with our eyes open. And we don't even have to verbally say it out loud. We can pray inside our minds, you know, just as we're walking. When I was in Israel, I was praying all the time. And I was like, Lord, just reveal what you want me to feel, what you want me to see. Every step of the way, I wanted to feel that, but not just in Israel. Right here, right now, in all things, pray without ceasing is
yes.
what he says.
Yes.
Yes.
And again, what you just referenced there was sort of a rule. You referenced a rule. Okay, so somewhere, maybe when you're a little girl, you heard somebody say that you should close your eyes when you pray.
Right.
And so maybe you grow up and you say, well, I can't pray while I'm driving because my eyes are have to be open to drive.
Right.
Well, that's not a rule.
Right.
It's not a rule. It's like religion stepped in and said, this is how you have to do.
Yeah.
You have to kneel down four times first, and you have to do this, and you have to look this way
stand
and close
up,
your eyes.
Down,
yeah, exactly. and where God is, your Jesus Christ is your best friend.
Mm-hmm.
Not only is your Father who loves you a billion times more than you could ever imagine,
yes.
but he wants to hear from you all day long.
That's right.
And there's nothing too big or too small. That's another big point. You know, the Bible says, don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. So
mm-hmm.
we stop in my class right there and say, what does God want you to pray about? And the answer is everything. So if you need a new pair of shoes, if you lost something, should you pray about that? Well, of course. You know, one day I came home from a trip and my wife had lost her cell phone. And she says, I've been looking for my cell phone for 2 days. It's just gone. And I said, did you pray about it? And she said, no, why? That's not a big enough issue to pray about. I said, yes, the Bible says pray about everything. So I said, we're going to pray right now. So we stopped and we said, very simple prayer, eyes open. We just said, Lord, we're looking for my wife's cell phone. Can you please help us find it? In Jesus' name, we thank you in advance. Amen. We left. We came back to the house. We opened our garage. We had a garage door opener. We opened the garage. And when we go to step in the house, the cell phone was right there on the step. Inside the garage.
Look at that.
There is no way that anybody else could have placed it there but God. We were the only ones at the house. And we that's, you know, it's a small thing for most people. I'm not going to pray for my lost cell phone or I dropped the bottle cap or I need to get my kids to school. Pray about everything, everything.
Yeah, he says ask.
Yes.
Seek. Yes. You're listening to The Sue Free Show on our flagship station, KKLA, and whether you're in San Diego on K-Praise or you're in Ventura on KDAR, wherever you are, from San Diego all the way up to Paso Robles, you can turn on the dial and find Sue Freeze. And now with the internet, iTunes, iHeart, you can find Sue Freeze anywhere, which is so great. What I want you to do is know that Sue Free, spelt like fries, oneword.com, when you go to that website, there is so many things there for you. You can go there. You can see videos. You can see me on a unicycle talking about the love languages. There's so many things on there. The second button there is the affirmations, which is so important that we know what God says about us, because we don't want to listen to some of the people in our lives right now might be saying things that are negative and they're a downer, okay? And what I'm saying is God, he wants you to be all that he created you to be, because he created you for a specific purpose. And if you're feeling down, if you're feeling low, I know what that feels like. I so do. But we don't have to stay there. And one of the things you can do is, first of all, nothing happens without motion, which means you need to get up, take a shower, get yourself up and moving. And after that, you need to start speaking words of encouragement, inspiration from God. How do you do that? You can go to the Sue Free site, and you can download the I Ams. It's free. I love that word free, don't you? You can go there. You can get the free affirmations, the free I Ams. It's who Jesus says you are, and that is the truth, and that's what we want to listen to. So go there and get that, would you? It's there for you. Just download it, and you've got it. There's a lot of things there, so just I want to encourage you to go there. And there's going to be information about Steve Array there so that you can go there, and we're going to promote some things that he's doing right now. And so all you have to remember is SueFreeze.com, and you'll be able to get the information you need. And do me one favor. If you like what you're hearing, which I certainly hope you do, I hope you share this with your friends, your family. Please share this and connect with me, won't you? I would love that. Okay, so back to you. Little side note commercial there for the Sue Free Show. How does the listener get started?
Well, by just realizing, you know, the affirmation thing that you just talked about,
yes,
is great with prayer also.
Yes.
And I don't want to say fake it till you make it, but it's almost like where, you know, Jesus spoke about a prayer closet where you set aside a place and a time to pray. You know, there's no set thing, but I would just say for a person who doesn't pray, first realize that God is listening. You're his favorite person in the whole world. He loves you so much. And just go off by a place and just talk to him. You don't need to have other people there. You don't need to go through anybody. You don't need to pray through a statue. All you have to do is say, God, this is me. You know me. And here's what's on my mind. And just start talking to him. You know, the title of my book is You Can Talk to God. That's all prayer is. You're talking to God and he's listening and he's going to answer your prayer. And he's going to talk to you too. I mean, you told me earlier that on your trip to Israel, it was such a God thing and so many things, you know, just happen in your life. When you're a godly person and you communicate with God and you keep talking to him, he's going to let you know he's listening. We call it God winks, or it's a God thing. Some Christians
God
say
winks.
That.
I like that.
Yeah. But when you just get started, if you've never prayed before, just today, sometime, just talk to God. To say, hey, it's me.
And you don't have to have special words. You don't have to do arts and thous and those. You know, you just speak like you speak, because he knows every word. He knows every hair on your head. That's what he says.
That's correct.
You know, in the womb. So he knows your words already, but he wants to hear you say them. He gave us freedom of choice because he wants to know that you want to have a relationship with him. He's not forcing it. He wants you to have that relationship. And so the best way to do that is to get to know him. But he wants to get to know you. And you know what's amazing when you have counseling, I've learned this, is that sometimes it's not the counselor. It's really not that person. It's you needing to hear what you need to say. It's like a person will ask you a question, and hearing what you say helps you understand who you are. So when you pray, you are praying to God, but you're also listening right to what you're praying about, what you're praying and saying. And it really is healing. It's revealing, and it's vulnerable. It's intimate. And it's so wonderful to be in that place.
Yes. And yes. I think about people who, you know, pay hundreds of dollars an hour to go to a psychologist or psychiatrist. And that professional, that psychiatrist, will have them just sit down or lie down on a couch and say, tell me what's on your mind. And they just listen.
Yeah.
Okay. And what you're saying is absolutely right. The psychologist is not helping you by saying stuff. They're just listening. A good doctor will just listen to what your problems are. And the more you talk about it, the better you feel.
Mm-hmm.
And God is the best doctor, and he makes house calls. I love that.
And it's very good. I like that too. And he does.
Yes.
He so does.
And so you talk to him and just tell him everything that's on your mind, and you'll work things out. You will.
Yes. That's awesome. So, you know, when I think about praying, you're saying that there isn't any structure or anything. It's just basically, in summary, that you know, you just open up your heart,
right.
You open up your mind, and you just say what's on your mind. And he says to ask
right.
and seek, right? And
right.
he's going to reveal to you, but you have to have an open mind. You have to have an open heart to receive what he has for you.
Yes.
And all of us go through struggles. You know, we all do. We have highs, we have lows. And during those times, the highs and the lows, in the highs, we say, thank you, Lord, for those highs. And in the lows, it's like, Lord, please reveal to me what it is you need me to do. Is there a lesson here? Let me learn the lesson.
Right, right. As we're talking, I'm just thinking about, you know, you asked me how somebody gets started. I was just thinking about people who go out on a first date.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get started on a first date? The very first time you have a date, what do? Well, let's say you go to some restaurant or whatever, you sit down. Let's say it's a blind date. The first thing you do is strike up a conversation, and you say, well, my name is such and such, and who are you? And if you've got to start that low, that's fine to do it. But think about this. Once your relationship develops and you become, let's say, boyfriend and girlfriend or even husband and wife, you'll pick up the phone and call your spouse and tell them when you have a bad day, just as much as if you call them and tell them when you have a great day. Some people only talk to God when they're in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Say, God, my son is sick. I need help. Come here and help me out.
Mm-hmm.
Or sometimes we only talk to God when things are going well, but you should do both. Pray about everything.
Absolutely. Great advice. And we do need to do that, because sometimes we forget when everything's going well to give thanks where it's due.
Yes.
And he is there to, guide us in everything. We will be back with more of the Sue Freeze Show right after this brief break. Hi, Sue Freeze, the termite lady here. It's been my privilege to serve my community for 32 years as owner of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. Family is one of the most important things in my life, so you can imagine my panic when my little boy Tyson stopped breathing for the first time when he was 2 years old. It was the most terrifying thing I'd ever experienced. In an instant, Tyson had become a statistic. 1 in 8 children in California who suffers from life-threatening asthma. Those of you who listen to my radio show understand that I'm not a victim. I'm a mover, I'm a doer, and I'm a believer. And so I did what I had to do. I set out to find out why Tyson was suffering those horrific asthma attacks, and the journey was powerful and illuminating. I learned so much about how asthma attacks can be prevented, how you can make your home a healthier, happier environment, and how you can emerge from challenging situations like this even stronger and more powerful than you ever could imagine. I've shared my family's story in my new book, Learning to Breathe, available now on my website, www.suefreespelledlikefries.com. If you or someone you love suffers from asthma, this is a book you must read. Please order your copy today. And for more information about effective alternatives to traditional pest control, please call us at Ecola 800-332-2847. We'd love to help you take care of your home and your family too. Learning to Breathe, available now at SueFreeze.com.
They're called the stealth bugs of the insect world, termites, every homeowner's nightmare. But a lot of KKLA listeners don't lose a moment of sleep over termites because of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. They are California's leading ecological alternative termite control company. You see, Ecola gets rid of termites by using family-friendly, poison-free alternatives like Electrogun that seeks out and eliminates the little rascals, Microwave Process for small areas, and their new Ecola Heat using clean, hot air for entire walls. No embarrassing circus tent over your home. No poison gas, no bagging your food, or moving out for a couple of days. Ecola Termite and Pest Control gets rid of termites effectively and quickly. So, call Ecola at 877-332-BUGS. 877-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful termite and pest control as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their two-year warranty. Call 877-332-BUGS. You're listening to The Sue Free Show.
Thank you, Ecola Termite and Pest Management Services. Listen, if you have any termite, pest control, or even rodents, you know, like little rats you can hear pitter-pattering in your attic, anything like that, you need to call Ecola because we care and we'll take care of you. The inspections are free unless you're selling your home, and we'll come out and we'll tell you if you have anything, what you have, and what your options are. I don't know about you, but I like choices. I like to have choices in everything, and I like to be educated so that I can make the right choice for my family and my home. So Ecola is here for you, and we appreciate your business. Learning to breathe, I have something really amazing just happened, and I want to tell you about it. Is I got an email from a publishing company called Litfer or Litfire, not sure how to pronounce that, from London, stating that they have chosen my book, Learning to Breathe, on asthma, respiratory issues, and just life, my life journey with my beautiful and wonderful son, Tyson. And they have chosen my book to be featured, one of 10, in London. So I'm going to be flying out and going to London, and this is a whole new world. I don't know much about it, but those of you that have been following and tracking alongside me, you know that I was in a terrible accident on a horse, was in a wheelchair, and during that time when I could do nothing else but sit there and heal and be still and know that I am God, I wrote a book. And so now this book is taking on a whole nother life. And it's being recognized. So I'm very excited, and it is totally another God thing. I mean, blessed. So pray for me, would you, on my traveling, for traveling mercies, and that everything goes the way God wants it to go. I have scripture in every chapter, so I always make sure that God is in the forefront. And, you know, I have a message for respiratory issues, but I also have an even more important message, and that is the message of our Lord and Savior being there for each and every one of us. And it's really wonderful to know that He is there and He does listen. We just have to ask. He says, pray without ceasing. And we are talking about prayer, so this is a great tie-in to that. Today, if you're just tuning in now, thank you so much for doing so. And I have Steve Array with me today, and he's written a couple books. One is The Bible Class for Dummies. I think it's a book or a class.
It's just a class.
A class. I love his voice. And then the one that I want to promote right now and I want you to know about is You Can Talk to God, and it is on Amazon, and we will talk about it at the end. And if you don't remember anything else, just remember SueFreeze.com. And if you want to refer to that to get the book, you can do so. Okay? So Steve's with us today, and something we haven't talked about up until this point is that he's a comedian. Now, I was telling him when I first met him, he had to get on a train and he had to come a long way, and it was really an ordeal, but he's here and he has a great attitude, and he took a breath and, you know, and so he's here with us. And I told him, I said, you know, comedy has always been something where I've really not enjoyed too much in the world. And it's because it's not clean. It's not clean normally. There is F-bombs and this and that going on. And, you know, even the jokes are just not, they're not the kind of jokes that I want to remember or even listen to. So I usually walk out or I don't even attend. But he does clean comedy, which I think is really refreshing. And I haven't heard him in person, but I will, I'm hoping. But, you know, it's kind of neat that here he is. He's a comedian and now he's a pastor. So he's kind of, you know, intertwining the two. And what I've learned being a keynote speaker is one of the lessons that they teach is that people learn better in humor. They learn better when they laugh first. Right? They do. I know I do. I mean, you know, get me laughing.
Yes.
And then I will receive whatever you have so much easier. I don't know the scientific background of that. I just know that for me, it's true. You know, it gets me.
I will tell you.
Okay, tell
everybody.
Me.
Did you notice that 2/3 of TV commercials have humor? They're funny. 2/3. Or they try to be funny.
Uh-huh.
That's because when people laugh, they open up, and they're more susceptible to buying the product. And so that's why I believe any message, you know, that you can do, whether it's the Bible, I do suicide prevention programs for the military. And the pushback I get, all that, I was talking to a safety guy yesterday. I'm going out to do shows for the Army in Sacramento, Corps of Engineers. And, you know, that's always the big drawback when the commanding officer says, there's a comedian coming to our base to talk about suicide prevention. And I always give them this pitch. I say, well, listen, I'm also a pastor, and here's the deal. I make people laugh up front. We tell a lot of jokes. We do a lot of interaction. We have fun. But then when you get to the message, people are quiet, and they pay attention because you made them laugh up front. And then we finish with laughing, but there's no way to make jokes about, you know, suicide, of course. There's no way to make jokes about driving drunk, which I used to do before. I used to teach courses on that. But if you make people laugh up front, they're more open to the message you have. And there's your science on
there.
On humor.
Thank you so much for filling me in on that. That's great. And so it does go together, and it's wonderful.
It goes together. Yes,
it does. So what's it like to do comedy in churches?
Well, long story short, I used to be a regular performer at the world-famous Improv in Hollywood. I'm kind of blessed that way. That's the club I started at. Most comedians, you know, try to work their whole career to get in at the Improv, and I kind of lucked into it. I was teaching a class where I was telling a bunch of jokes, and a famous comedian was in the class, and he said, why aren't you performing somewhere? And I said, well, I'm doing open mics. And he said, meet me at the Improv tomorrow. I'll get you in. And I didn't believe him, of course, because it's Hollywood. But the next day, I met him, and he introduced me to the owner of the Improv, and they let me do a couple of auditions, and I got in. So I started at the Improv in Hollywood, and I worked as an MC for about 3 years. I used to work from 10 o'clock till 2 in the morning, but I got to introduce people like Robin Williams and Jerry Seinfeld and Rodney Dangerfield and all these people, I learned so much by watching them because I would introduce them, and then I would just sit in the back of the room and just watch them. And when it was my turn, I got to become a regular at the Improv. I started inviting my friends. You know, I'm a regular at the Improv in Hollywood, and come watch me do a show. Usually I would follow Adam Sandler and David Spade. We did all three together. One night it was myself, Adam Sandler, David Spade, Roseanne Barr, and I forgot who the other person was, but it was like a big night. But here's the problem. Every time I would invite somebody to watch me do my show, the guy before me and the guy after me would drop the F-bomb every other word or curse or talk about things that are just totally inappropriate for Christians.
I know.
And insult people. Mm-hmm. And I would be kind of embarrassed, you know, the person, you know, say you invite your aunt from Encino or something, you know, and she says, well, I like you a lot, but that guy before you was so filthy.
Yeah.
And so I decided, you know, about 10 years ago that I was just going to try to find comedians who are clean, like myself, and we would organize and do shows. And I think, you know, Nazareth, there's another guy that I work with named Scott Wood. There's a few other comedians out there who are clean but can do the job. And by the way, just so everybody knows, it is much harder to do comedy clean than otherwise.
I bet.
Because there's always the shock value in talking about, you know, inappropriate things or using the F-bomb. It's a shock value that makes people listen a little bit better, and that's how comedy works. But it's so much more rewarding to write jokes that are clean and talk to people without insulting them. And they leave and they say, you know what, I don't feel so bad. I came in, I saw, I had a good time, and I'm going to invite my friends the next time. So we love doing shows for churches. We've done about 20 shows, mostly in the San Diego area, where churches will use it as an outreach, and I'll come in and help them. I show them how to print tickets, how to publicize it, how to talk about it. We send them film clips about who's going to be performing. Then on the big night, most of the church provides volunteers, and they take the tickets. Everybody's so happy. They come in, and we do a 90-minute show of clean comedy. We usually have a band up front as well. And then everybody leaves happy, and they don't feel like they need to take a shower because they were rained on with F-bombs. They feel good.
Right.
And most of our guys, like Nazareth, Scott Wood, have a Christian message at the end as well.
Yes.
And so it's very appropriate for churches to use comedy as an outreach.
I was going to ask you that. Is this outreach?
Yes.
Or is this to get drive a message home of Bible study?
Well,
both.
It's both.
Yeah.
And what a great outreach it is. You know, we say to you, Sue, you go to this church, invite your neighborhood
right.
to a comedy show yeah. at the church.
It's outreach.
And people mm-hmm. who never would step foot in a church
they might.
Will go to that church mm-hmm. to watch a comedy night.
Yeah.
And then we usually have the pastor speak for a few minutes up front just to say hi. And when they leave, they say, wait a second, that guy, that nice guy there is the pastor. And those people taking the tickets belong to the church. And it was a great venue. And I love the place. I think I'll come to church here.
Yeah.
So it's a great outreach for people
right.
who don't normally go to church.
Right. You're listening to The Sue Freeze Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5. And we're talking about laughing. We're talking about praying. We're talking about using humor because, you know, that saying of live, love, laugh, that's mm-hmm. what I thought of when I was driving in today because I have that in my front.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, okay, what's most important? And I'm thinking, okay, well, live. We got to live because you
gotta
can't laugh if you don't live. And live just doesn't mean live. It means live, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Living and being alive is a wonderful thing. But part of that is laughing. But loving, I would say, would be next. So I'd say laughing would probably be third, but I think that the three of them together, right? You've got to live, you got to love, and then you got to laugh.
Very good.
Right?
Very good.
That was why I was driving. You know, I do that. I think and I think, okay, you know, priority thinking, I think, is what I would call that.
And can I just say this? Myself and most of the guys that I work with love people. And there is no greater feeling in the world than to be either teaching in church, telling a joke on stage where you see people who are laughing and sometimes they start crying because they're laughing. It makes me so happy. I feel so good that we brought joy to that person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I went to a conference one day where the pastor of the church said he has all his volunteers hug people because that hug might be the only hug that person got all month.
Amen.
And so when a person is able to laugh, I always think to myself, you know, first of all, science tells us that children laugh about 300 times a day. Adults, at the most, 4 times a day, at the most. Most people, and that's average. So there's most people out there who never laugh. They don't laugh for a week. And somebody drags them to a comedy show, and they hear one joke that just opens them up, and then they can't stop laughing. And that is the greatest feeling of love, not only laughter, but of love in the world, because you made that person feel good.
That's so great. That's awesome. And yes, I know when I have a good laugh where tears are rolling down my face, it's like I had done a run of a marathon.
Yes.
It's like it's that exhilarating to me to laugh that hard.
Laughter releases
so
endorphins.
Fun.
You know,
yes.
You know that. And
it feels so good to laugh really hard.
Yeah. It's like going for a run.
Yes.
But
it doesn't,
by the way, it doesn't substitute for running.
It doesn't. I'd much rather laugh. Since my accident, I can't run, but I can laugh. So
you can
it's
laugh.
Really wonderful.
Well, good.
Yes. Yes. So you blend humor with Bible teaching in the church. We've talked about that. I don't know. Do you want to give them a taste of what a joke would be? Do you have one that comes to the top of your head right now that you could just tell us a joke? And so everybody listening could laugh?
This is a timing joke, so you have to wait, okay? Don't cut me
I'm
off.
Waiting. Okay, go ahead.
Right around tax time, a minister is working late in his office and the phone rings. And he picks up the phone and he says, Pastor Davis. And the voice on the other end says, is this Pastor John Davis? He says, it is. This is the IRS calling. It is. Yes. Do you have a man named Bruce Jones in your congregation? I do. Did Mr. Jones donate $2,000 to your congregation this month? He will.
That's good. That's good.
Two little girls are in a Catholic school, and the nuns have baked fresh brownies. Okay, so they set up these fresh brownies and they put a sign on the brownies, say, take only one, God is watching. So the two little girls read the sign and they each take one brownie, and then they go over to the chocolate chip cookie section, and one girl says to the other one, take all we want, God's over there watching the brownies.
I love it. That's great. So you mentioned something about working with the military. What's that all about?
I've been working for the military for about 10 years now. You know, I was a safe driving teacher. I used to teach traffic school for many years and put humor into it. And I had somebody who invited me to speak on safe driving for the Marines at Camp Pendleton. And I did, and it went well. And they kept inviting me back. And one day the Marines gave me a contract, and I've been doing it ever since. So I've been to just about every military base in America. I've been to Guantanamo Bay. They would not let me talk to the prisoners. To answer your question, I've been to Japan twice. And I go there, and mostly I speak to them about safe driving and suicide prevention. I do a 90-minute show, and it's very rewarding to help those guys because, of course, they protect our country. So love doing that.
And you make them laugh.
Make them laugh.
And that's great.
Yes, and I get to travel doing. I travel a lot. My next trips are going to Sacramento and supposed to be going to Hawaii real soon. But
that's nice.
Well, people always say that's nice, but I've been there about five times. And basically, I just stay on the base and work. I don't get to go to the beach or anything like that, but it's fun. So,
well, go a couple days early.
Yeah, I should.
Yeah.
I did that once. I did that once.
What, 5-hour flight? Just, you know.
When I went to Japan, I was going to tour and all that, and The guy at the base, the commanding officer, calls me. He says, "Hey, Mr. Veray, do you want us to have a driver for you in Japan?" And I said, "No, I'll just drive my own."
Uh-oh.
And so I read their vehicle handbook because I'm going to teach about driving.
Right.
And this is actually true over there. If you break the law over there, the police officer is allowed to lecture you in your own car for up to 2 hours. So I'm thinking to myself, I'm going to be in Japan in a strange country. I might run a stop sign, and some guy's going to be in a back seat with his little cigarette looking at me going, "You're such a no good driver. You're no good driver," for 2 hours. And I would be like, "Can't you just shoot me like they do in Los Angeles and get it over with?" And I called a guy back. I said, "You know what? I'll take a driver. I don't want to risk driving in Japan. They might lecture you for 2 hours."
Yes, that wouldn't be too much fun, would
yeah.
it? You're listening to The Sue Freeze Show, and if you're just tuning in now, I want you to know that if you feel like you've missed something or something, go to SueFreeze.com, spelt like fries, SueFreeze.com. And when you go there, you can get this podcast. You can get 7 years worth of podcasts. I am like amazed at that. That is just amazing. When KKLA said, "Sue, we need to have a conversation with you," and this was over 7 years ago, and they said, "We think that you need to have a radio show." And I'm like, "What am I going to talk about?" And it has been an amazing, amazing venture. And I'm so excited. And now, for those that don't know, I have a TV show. Yep. I have a TV show. It's called The Sue Freeze TV Show, and it's on public broadcasting. Now, here's the most amazing thing, is they are allowing me to talk about scriptures, talk about Bible, talk about Jesus, talk about my Heavenly Father. And I'm just so excited that on public broadcasting, they're allowing me to do that. Is that a God thing or what? What do you think? I think it's amazing. I think it's absolutely amazing. And, you know, when I was growing up and I was saying, "God, what do you want me to do? You know there's more to my life than what I'm doing now. So please just guide me in the direction." And things happen, right, to each one of us. We have a story. We all have a story. And no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're going through, there is a better day. You know, it's coming. And you have to believe that. And you have to believe. I suggest that you believe. You know, ask the Lord to reveal to you what you need to do every minute of every day. And if it means just getting through today so that you see tomorrow and you see the sun come up and you hear the birds singing because they continue doing that. If that's all you need to do, that's enough. It's enough for some of you. And for some of you, you're on the highest of highs, okay? You just got engaged, or you're going to have a baby, or one of those wonderful, wonderful miracles. And I'm so grateful and thankful for you that you have that. Be a blessing. Could you do that? Could you just be a blessing? Look for opportunity. Ask the Lord to reveal to you how you can be a blessing. It could be the simplest of things, like making somebody laugh. It could be the simplest thing, like smiling. I was talking to a friend about wheelchairs and how people in wheelchairs, sometimes people just feel uncomfortable. They don't, you know, like me. Before I was in one, I had a difficult time having eye-to-eye contact with somebody in a wheelchair because I didn't know what to say, didn't know what to do. You know, this last week, a friend of mine, a dear friend of mine, in stage 4 cancer. And I saw him after not seeing him for quite a while, and he doesn't look nearly the same. And I looked at him, and it's like, "Lord, give me the words. I just didn't know what to say. I did not know what to say to my friend other than, I love you, I care for you, and if there's anything I can do for you, I'm here. I'm just here." And I gave him the biggest hug. And we separated, and there were tears on both sides. And it just, we don't have the answers, do we? But God knows. God understands. But sometimes things are tough, and sometimes things are great, and we just have to know that there's a plan, and we don't always understand what it is. So we don't have very much time left. Steve, it's been really wonderful having you on the show. I want everybody to know that if you want to know that you can talk to God, that Steve Verrett, that's spelled V-E-R-R-E-T.
Yeah, V like Victor, E-R-R-E-T,
yes.
Steve Verrett. And you can Google me, Steve Verrett Comedian, and you'll see like there's about 10 pages of stuff, videos and stuff like that. And if the best way to get in touch with me personally is just go to ourchurch.org. That's my church.
It's our with an H.
H, yeah. It lasts 1 hour. That's why.
Yes.
So it's ourchurch.org, and you can contact me anytime there or go to your website.
Yes, go to my website, Sue Free, spelt like fries, one word, .com. I should make that a jingle, I think.
Yeah.
It's kind of fun. My son always says that. Oh, Mom, I'm so tired of hearing Sue Free, spelt like fries, one word, .com. It's kind of funny coming from him. Okay, so in closing, Steve, what would you want to say to the listeners? You know, every time I come on the show, I'm always praying, you know, Lord, let it be your show. And, you know, just I want the message to be clear. I want it to be helpful and
yes.
inspiring and encouraging to those that need that.
Yes.
Which, you know, this world is a tough place and things are happening. And so what would you want to say?
I want to talk to that person out there who does not know how to get started with prayer.
Okay.
You know, God loves you so much. He created you. He knows every hair on your head. Your picture is on his refrigerator, and he wants to hear from you. And that's why we wrote the book, You Can Talk to God, because you can talk to God. You just got to take that first step. There's a lot of little peaks of information in the book that might help you as well. Like, for instance, it's better to be sincere, get in a sincere mode before you pray. Be humble when you talk to God. Talk to him like a friend because he loves you. But maybe this is your starting point today. To say, today's the day I'm going to start talking to my Heavenly Father because he loves me so much. He loves me so much, and I have just neglected him for so long. And he's given me life. He's given me everything I have. So I just want to at least thank him for it. You should be thankful all the time with God. Show him how much you appreciate it. So I hope my book, You Can Talk to God, available on Amazon, might be able to help you to do that.
That is awesome. Okay, I'm going to read, like I do each time almost, Jesus Calling, Sarah Young. And today it says, listen to the love song that I'm continually singing to you. I take great delight in you. I rejoice over you with singing. The voices of the world are a cacophony of chaos, pulling you this way and that. Don't listen to those voices. Challenge them with my word. Learn to take many breaks from the world, finding a place to be still in my presence and listen to my voice. That's part of prayer, isn't it?
Yes.
And that's what it says. Every single time I come on their air, I flip this open, and it seems to go right with, and it's totally just a God thing.
It is.
It is totally a God thing.
God is winking at you.
I like that.
Yes.
The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Matthew 7:7. This is the scriptures for today's show didn't know ahead of time.
Right.
Right?
Right. In my Bible for Dummies class, by the way, we always say, you know, the number of Jesus is 7. So always imagine he's the quarterback of your team and he's wearing the number 7. And you just happen to read Matthew 7:7.
Uh-huh.
That is amazing.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Sue.
It is. And my favorite number is 17.
Yes.
And 1 is for the beginning.
Yes.
And 7 is the end, Alpha, Omega.
There you go.
And so, you know, anytime there is 17, I'm like, I'm paying attention.
Right.
And people might think that that's strange, but for me, it's working. So, you know, it's working and it's the Lord's way. When I was being baptized, a white butterfly flew by. And
wow.
I know that was from the Lord.
Wow.
So listen, everybody listening, be a blessing to someone each and every day. God bless you until next week. Bye-bye.
This has been the Sue Free Show, sponsored by Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services. It's that time of the year when bugs multiply like crazy and start looking for a home. your home. Ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, and a lot of other creepy crawly critters, even rats and other varmints. It's time to call Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services. They offer complete ecological pest control of rodents and insects. Ecola has one-time services, ongoing monthly services, their most popular and economical every other month service, and even quarterly service for occasional pest problems. Ecola keeps rats and mice out and eliminates insects in their nests. It's the most effective way, and their termite control is legendary. So call Ecola today for a free estimate of complete pest control at 877-332-BUGS. No more creepy crawly critters like ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, rats, and other pests. Call them at 877-332-BUGS. 877-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful pest control services as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 877-332-BUGS.